More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. I am back from Italy. Buck, I am jet lagged. We got in last night around midnight. Probably will take me a few days to get back to complete normalcy, but an incredible trip over to Italy. If you ever get the opportunity to go, I'd never been before. We took the whole crew. I posted some photos. I think we had them up at Clay and Buck. Also had them up at Instagram of the trip. Florence, Rome, and Naples. Last day, Buck, we spent in Pompeii, which was incredible. Covered by the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. Hiked to the top of Mount Vesuvius. Just an awesome time. And I tweeted a little bit about this, but we talk regularly on this show about what history nerds we are, and we're going to get into Trump versus DeSantis. Trump said he was going to get arrested today. It does not appear that that's likely to happen. We're going to break down New York City case of Alvin Bragg, and we'll also talk about Dr. Fauci providing receipts for the lies that he was sharing while they were working on a hagiography documentary that is going to air on PBS. All of that coming your way and more. But what I come back from Italy with is a renewed appreciation for our founding fathers, how brilliant they were to study the history of Greece and Rome, but also just how short, just how incredibly short our entire nation's history is. I mean, when you're walking into the Pantheon, which is 2,000 years old and basically has been used for 2,000 years consistently in Rome, and you do the math and you think, okay, if someone randomly walked in here, there's almost 1,800 years of this building's existence before the United States even came into being. I mean, it just is wild to kind of have that perspective. Also, from a religious perspective, we went to Vatican City. But the historical aspects of Jesus, I think in many ways, that entire period, it feels so remote to people. And then you're walking around in Rome and you're like, oh, wait, this was here before Jesus, right? Touring the Colosseum, all these different places. It was just an incredible experience that I think, I hope for my kids, opens their mind more substantially. But even for me as a middle-aged 43-year-old adult, I'm coming back, I think, with a renewed appreciation for much of what we have here in America and also a better understanding of sort of the history of Rome and how it impacted the United States, if that makes sense. Everybody was fantastic. People were friendly. They got put on several pounds in incredible pasta. The food was insanely good, Buck. Just an awesome time. It was great to get away. I'm excited to be back.
One of the best places you could visit, period. I'm so glad you had a lot of fun. I will say that here we are now being told that Trump will not be indicted, at least today. And maybe it's because, you know, Wyatt Earp returned to town here, Mr. Clay Travis. You know, maybe the commies realized they were misbehaving too much in your absence.
As you well know, and we were texting some Although thanks to everybody, I didn't get all the usual emails and everything else, so I wasn't plugged in like I ordinarily would be. But you're 5 or 6 hours ahead in Italy. So one morning I woke up and you and Ali had texted that news had broken. So you go to bed at 6 o'clock over 6 o'clock Eastern time, which is midnight over there, 11 o'clock, whatever it is. And you wake up to see what the stories are going to be. For me, sometimes March Madness, what was happening in the college basketball tournament. But the idea of Trump putting out news that he was going to be arrested on Tuesday and diving into this Alvin Bragg story, Buck, I just, for people who listen, I've been predicting that Trump was going to be indicted for a long time. And I thought that it probably would come from one of these states, right? New York or Georgia. Because I think that's more difficult now in the wake of the Biden classified document scandal. But I just don't think people are talking enough about how outrageously without precedent this move is, not only for Trump, but basically, Buck, what I believe it would put in motion is almost every politician would end up getting charged with felonies because there are going to be Republican firebacks if Democrats do this. And it will become standard that there will be perp walks for politicians of both parties for decades to come.
Democrats have tried similar shenanigans in terms of the weaponization of the law against politicians in the past, but never have you seen it against not only a former president, but a current presidential contender, right? That's really the part of this that I think, if you're looking at the destabilizing effects that it could have, I mentioned before, I think it was Clay, while you were here before you went away, the Ted Stevens prosecution, for example, Republican Senator Ted Stevens, they hid evidence. I mean, that as straightforward as it was. And as I said, federal prosecutors ended up losing their careers, and one even took his own life over that debacle. And then there was the Governor Bob McDonnell of Virginia honest services fraud prosecution. If you recall, they wanted to put McDonnell, the former governor of Virginia, away for something like 11 years, I think. That was the initial push. And his wife, who wasn't even official for 2 years, because they had deprived, this was under a federal prosecution, they had deprived the people of Virginia of the honest services of their, I mean, it was a complete, the Supreme Court ended up saying, you could literally prosecute somebody for, I mean, and this comes out of Justice Scalia, for getting a good table at a restaurant as a politician, because, hey, can't count on them to be honest in the restaurant industry anymore. They got a good table. He's like, it's completely insane. The Donald Trump situation, though, right now, first of all, as we know, it hasn't happened. So I know I've been talking to everybody about this, obviously, all day yesterday. So I wanted to make sure everyone got your sort of 30,000 foot take. Does this, first of all, and in your mind, does it 100% happen? You know, is there a chance that Bragg backs off at this point? And then the second aspect of this that I wanted to hear your take on is the political reality of this. Does this mean that Donald Trump is the de facto Republican nominee? And is that what Democrats want? Break those two down for me.
Yeah, those are good questions. And so the first one is, it depends on what Alvin Bragg's aim is. He overwhelmingly wins by bringing charges against Donald Trump, no matter what happens, because then he goes into the history books as the prosecutor who had the stones to take on Donald Trump. And whether Trump is convicted or whether the case ends up in being legitimately able to be brought or not, Alvin Bragg becomes a made man in Democrat circles. He could decide to run for the Senate. He could decide to run for governor. I don't see any political fallout for Alvin Bragg at all. So in terms of whether or not it happens, I think honestly, and it's crazy to have to think about this, I think it has to go to the essence of whether Alvin Bragg wants to effectively start nuclear war in our politics. Because if he does this, then this is going to become commonplace, I believe, in the decades ahead. Almost, Buck, in the same way that impeachment has kind of become standard. You kind of roll your eyes when somebody gets impeached now. For hundreds of years, it was rare. And now you sort of feel like every president, if they have a party that is of the opposite party, is going to impeach for some reason or other. It feels like that's kind of standardized. It was so cheapened in the Trump era. I feel like these kind of charges do that. Now, if the Democrats have anything on Alvin Bragg, I don't think that they want this to be their opening salvo on Trump, because it's a weak misdemeanor that's trying to be elevated to a felony. It also steps on whatever might happen in Georgia, and more importantly, it steps on the Department of Justice decision. So I think Democrats nationally don't want it to happen. I think for Alvin Bragg, it makes all the sense in the world to happen.
So can I put out this idea to you, which came to us, we played it on the show yesterday when you were in flight. Andy McCarthy had said over the weekend, and I believe Andy is joining us in the third hour, so we'll get some of his real-time live insight onto where all this is going. It's also a strange thing to spend a few days. This, Clay, this was, there's a banking crisis that is still unfolding,
yeah,
by the way.
Yeah, slow moving, right? Yeah.
We are on the precipice of a massive recession, according to a lot of very smart people, and Donald Trump getting arrested for effectively a glorified misdemeanor that's passed the statute of limitations, that's a campaign finance issue, was the biggest story. But anyway, and it's crazy. Andy McCarthy was saying that could this be the breaking of, you know, the breaking of the wall, the crossing of the Rubicon, you know, pick your metaphor.
Yep.
Whereby once he's indicted by one legal authority that is weaponized, then Georgia, then maybe January 6th on the federal side, then it sort of creates a breaking of the dam effect. That's a better metaphor. What do you think about that?
I still don't think they're going to bring federal charges on him, because I think Merrick Garland is going to get up eventually and wag his finger because Biden stepped all in the classified document mess. I think it's going to be very hard to bring federal charges because that feels so intensely political. And also because I believe then that blows back when you have a national constituency. Remember, what does Alvin Bragg want?
But what
if he wants to be elected governor, if he wants to be elected senator, the best thing he could do for his own career is to charge
Trump. I think we can agree, you, me, and everybody listening. I don't really think there's any doubt that the downside for Alvin Bragg is basically zero.
Yes.
If he indicts, there is nothing but upside for him over the long term. The downside for the nation, the rule of law, you know, our sense of politics in this country and what is fair play, that is all at risk. But for him, he becomes a hero, a guaranteed multimillionaire, and a gubernatorial, and Clay, maybe even beyond that, political, you know, political Democrat player. That's what happens for him if he does it. So why? Then you got to get to the why wouldn't he do it?
And that's why I also think charges in Georgia are going to end up happening. That's what I've been saying for a while, because, again, the benefit to the prosecutor of bringing these charges is so much more substantial politically, and these are political animals, than any of the downside. Usually bet on big upside, no downside.
You know, and that then goes to Andy's, I think Andy's point. And again, he'll be with us in the third hour of the program to talk about this himself. But first one through the breach creates the opening for, I mean, for Georgia, your point about the decision-making process in that Georgia, you know, election interference case. If you're the second guy to bring charges against the president, you get to be a hero, and you have to the Democrats, obviously, not to the country, but also, you know, you're just kind of following suit. I think the first one to pull the lever on this one is making the harder call, and then it just becomes easy for others to follow and say, yeah, it's a pylon.
No doubt. And then it also becomes easier for the media to not have to focus on the particulars of one case and just say, this is evidence of Trump being just a criminal vigilante and all of the behavior being so unacceptable.
When we come back, I'm going to make you answer the question, though. Does this mean if they bring the charge?
Yeah.
Does it mean Donald Trump is more likely or almost certain to be the nominee?
Which is the great question, and I think the most significant question as we go forward. I also want to tell you, there's a reason emergency food being purchased at the rate it is right now. We've got it down in the pantry. Just came back from Italy. Was excited to see, even though we didn't have a lot of food in the house, we did have the emergency food just in case things went wrong. One for me, one for my wife, one for all three of our kids. You can go to MyPatriotSupply.com, check out their popular 3-month emergency food kit. Again, we have them for every member of the Travis household. It lasts for years and years. 3 months, 2,000 calories a day, and it doesn't take up that much space in your house. We got them right in the pantry, and right now you'll save $200 per kit. Each kit give you a variety of delicious breakfast, lunch, dinners, drinks, snacks, 2,000 calories a day for optimum strength and energy. And act now and you can claim your $200 savings per kit. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. You'll get free shipping as well. That's MyPatriotSupply.com. You don't have to be a prepper to be prepared. You just have to be smart. Website one more time, MyPatriotSupply.com.
The voices of sanity in an insane world. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days,
it would have been juicy.
Would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Almost everybody who's looked at it except Alvin Bragg has decided that it doesn't pass the smell test, particularly because it rests so heavily on Cohen. And at the end of the day, I think everybody understands that these particular charges, as contrived as they may be, they wouldn't be brought against any American not named Donald Trump. And that's the part that, as a former prosecutor and a lawyer, troubles me the most.
So that was former Trump White House lawyer Ty Cobb, which, by the way, that is the famous baseball player, right?
Yes. Play? Oh, yes.
Right? I know enough to know that. But that's the lawyer Ty Cobb, not the ball player. And he's saying what's obvious, which is they wouldn't bring this against anybody who wasn't Trump. The politics of this are as open and brazen as anybody could imagine. The decision hasn't been made, so we don't want to belabor. We got a banking crisis we still got to talk about with Clay. The Ron DeSantis Trump aspect of this is very interesting. And we got a whole bunch of topics to hit that we're going to later on today in the show and for the rest of the show. But Clay, the dynamics of this for just the Republican primary are interesting, and for the general election. Let's just, you just take the ball here. If Trump is indicted next week, does this dramatically assist him in the primary and the general election, or is it very much conditional on what comes next?
I think it massively helps him. I don't think there's any doubt at all, because in the same way that when the Mar-a-Lago raid occurred, a lot of people lined up and said, hey, Trump, this is unacceptable, the precedent that we are setting. I think that many people out there will rally around Trump if he's indicted over this issue. And the same thing if he's indicted in Georgia. And then I don't think the Department of Justice is going to do this. But if they then, jumped on as well, it's an unprecedented attack against the leading political contender. And for everybody out there who was a Democrat that's been arguing democracy dies in darkness and all of this crap, this is the biggest attack on our democracy that would have occurred in any of our lives for the political party opposing Donald Trump to try to take him out. So remember, though, I think that they also may be involved in this calculus, Buck, because I think the Democrats know that if they indict Trump, they actually make it more likely that he's going to be the nominee. And remember, if Joe Biden and Kamala Harris got to select their opponent right now, they would pick Trump. That's why Democrats are running Joe Biden. We know Biden is in. I think this is designed to actually in some way strengthen Trump and make him more likely to be the nominee.
I got to say, I'm curious if any of our extended family here of radio listeners think that statement, because I do think that there's an assumption right now, is very widespread, even among Trump supporters in the primary, that the Democrats would rather face off against Trump. I'm curious if anyone disagrees with that. You can email us at Clay and Buck, VIP, clayandbuck.com. But also call us. I'm very curious to hear an argument about that, right? That no, they don't want Trump, because that to me is an important part of this calculation. If your opponents, if the enemy wants you to make a move, are they just mistaken, or is that something that we should be taking into account?
I also wonder, and this is a big picture question, how does DeSantis, we're going to talk about this some in the next hour in a little bit, but how does DeSantis respond to this? Because I think he's been caught a little bit not on his front foot, right? I don't think that he's thrown and responded to this in a way that I would have anticipated him. I think that it's actually worked in Trump's favor, also in his battle against DeSantis.
If you own a small business, you may be qualified for a refund of your taxes. No matter how busy you are, take the time to apply for the Employee Retention Credit, or ERC. You can rely on GetRefunds.com to help you. Go to GetRefunds.com to get started, and in less than 8 minutes, see if your business qualifies for ERC assistance. Your business may be eligible for a payroll tax refund of up to $26,000 per employee kept on payroll during COVID-19. GetRefunds.com has already helped clients claim over $3 billion in payroll tax refunds through the ERC, and they may be able to help your business too. There's no upfront charge either. They don't get paid unless your business gets its refund, and these refunds can be really substantial. Many businesses think they won't qualify based off incomplete or outdated information. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. It's only available for a limited time. Go to GetRefunds.com. That's GetRefunds.com.
On the front lines of truth.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We're talking about the potential political ramifications and implications in the event that Donald Trump is indicted in New York or Georgia. I don't think anything's happening anytime soon in the Department of Justice decision surrounding classified documents, Mar-a-Lago raid, all of that, Jan 6th. But, Buck, one of the things that everyone is debating is Trump calling for protests in the event that he's arrested. Now, I'm going to be honest with everybody out there. I will be outraged. I'll actually be really kind of scared for the future of our country, because I think it's just going to set the precedent that many different politicians out there are going to get charged with crimes, because whatever precedent you set, ultimately the other side ends up following it down the line. But I want to be really clear about this, because as soon as I saw Trump's tweet about potentially getting arrested on today, everyone listening to us right now, Buck, do not do anything to protest. They are trying to set you up for another January 6th. They want you to knock down a barricade. They want you to storm a courthouse. They want you to set the message of Trump supporters are deranged, anti-democratic lunatics. That's the narrative they're trying to set up. They want you to lose your mind. They want you to riot. They're not going to pay you $10 million like they're paying out BLM and all these cities where riots took place for months. They're going to arrest you. They're going to throw you in solitary confinement like they have the January 6th political prisoners. And almost no one in the political landscape is going to speak out for you. Don't let it happen to you.
Got to also say here that for a lot of people, there has been a reminder with this, with Trump's calls to protest, protest, protest. First of all, just an idea, throwing the word peacefully in there would be helpful, just so that you wouldn't have what you did have, which was, you know, all the MSNBC, CNN, New York Times, industrial complex saying that he's calling for riots. He's calling for, you know, yes, obviously you, in good faith, you can assume that protest means First Amendment rights being exercised peacefully, but that's not how the Democrats take it. But anyway, that's a minor issue. That's just a stylistic point. But this is not a stylistic point. What was done by Trump and by the people around him and the sort of Mar-a-Lago power base for the January 6th defendants was enough done for them. There are people who are raising these questions right now. Our friend Jesse Kelly raised this question in a fiery monologue recently. There are others as well who are saying, okay, hold on a second. Since you're calling for more protests, granted, protests, not riots. He said protests, of course. But we're thinking back to what happened to the last people that showed up and protested. How many Truth Socials have there been that are fired up about the, you know, raising money for the defense fund for J6 defendants who have been lingering in the D.C. gulag, and they have not been given their due process rights? They have not been afforded fair trials. They have not been given venue changes by those judges. They've been held for months and months on the lunatic theory that judges have written down, Clay, that they might do another insurrection if they got out. This includes people that didn't hurt anyone.
Years.
And so people are saying, with Trump right now, what did he really do for them? And I know people do not want to hear that, but it is a conversation that is happening on the right, and a lot of people don't have very good answers.
Well, and this is one where I would say I'm very proud of what we've done on this program, which is, I bet of almost any media outlet, any show, I bet we have spent more time talking about those prisoners of January 6th than I donated. You remember we had Julie Kelly on.
You wrote a check.
I donated thousands of dollars directly to try to get these guys legal representation. But I just want everybody out there. You saw what happened with the Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping case. You've seen what happens with the January 6th. You've seen what they did for the people who stood outside of abortion clinics and protested. I mean, a guy shoves a protester lightly and they try to put him away in prison for years. This Department of Justice, they do not concern themselves with justice. They are going after their political enemies. And if you do anything untoward, in the event that Donald Trump is arrested, particularly if you do it in a blue city, or certainly if you do it in a blue state, they are going to throw the legal book at you. Just like, to be fair, I mean, I think this is important on the Alvin Bragg charges, Buck. The guy took office saying, I'm not going to prosecute felonies. I'm going to reduce many felonies to misdemeanors. And now he's elevating a misdemeanor under state law in New York to a felony to go after Donald Trump. That's what they are going to do to you. So listen to us. You can be angry. You can want to get active. Do not do anything that could run you afoul of the law, because they will come after you. And next thing you know, you'll be a headline on CNN. You'll be a headline on MSNBC. And they'll be talking about all the deranged Trump supporters and their reaction, which turns, to be fair, and I think if we had Trump on, I would tell him the same thing. Donald Trump, you want the story of your arrest to be the unfounded political nature of that arrest. You don't want it to be your supporters' response to that arrest. If you're Trump and you want to flash the handcuffs as you walk in and define yourself as a political prisoner, I think that's a great look for Trump. I really do. I think it helps him. What does not help him is what you know MSNBC and CNN and New York Times and the Washington Post will do, Buck, is if four people get arrested for violence, Trump getting arrested will become the secondary story, and it will become, look at these Trump-supporting maniacs trying to overthrow democracy again. They're coming after our legal system now. They've already come after our Constitution.
I understand also, because people share this frustration with us, they say, but it's so unfair because they had the BLM riots all through 2020, and they, you know, that's never even talked about. And yep. and Kamala Harris wanted money raised for rioters, for people that were destroying our society because of, I mean, as we know, what was accomplished? Nothing was accomplished other than raising crime rates and more people getting shot and murdered across America.
Correct.
As a result of the anti-police, anti-law enforcement movement that Democrats embraced in that year, that is what happened. But to your point about what goes on now, it isn't going to be fair, and we need to understand that. It is a rigged game, and what that means in the context of protest in favor of or in support of the craziness of a possible Trump prosecution is, if you have a handful of people who, you know, throw fists at cops or get crazy over this or whatever, CNN will run it on a loop for the next 6 months, for the next 18 months. It doesn't matter that it's a misrepresentation. If they have even the slightest opportunity, they are absolutely dishonorable propagandists, and they will use it. So that is the, and now you could say, oh, but, you know, yeah, we'll tell the truth on this show. We'll say, guys, it was two people. There were, you know, 30,000 people protesting. But we will tell the truth. You know, Fox will tell the truth of what a few other, you know, other radio hosts and podcasters, etc. But we don't have 90% of journos in the media to hammer home a narrative. So if they just have even the smallest window to misrepresent it as, oh, it's J6 again, they will do it.
100% right. And I think that's so important. We'll take some of your calls maybe to close out the hour, but understand what their game plan is. They want you to lose your mind. They want you to break the law, and they want to use you as a symbol of all Trump supporters and how unacceptable your opinions are. I understand the rage. They want Trump. They want him against Biden. They're going to do whatever they can to make it happen. And we're going to talk about, I think, in the next hour, Ron DeSantis and how other political candidates that may well be running in 2024 are handling this Trump situation and what they should do. And I'll even ask this question as we get ready to go to break. Does Trump want to be arrested? Because when he tweeted, I guess, truthed out that he was going to be arrested today, Tuesday, it felt a little bit like a challenge to Alvin Bragg of, go ahead and do it. I think Trump wants the perp walk. I think Trump wants to be charged in this case. Is that the right move for him? I think there are so many different aspects here that it's very hard to predict, because there are so many different moving parts here that it's hard to analyze. To your point, Buck, and we'll talk with Andy McCarthy about this, how does this impact the Georgia investigation? What, if anything, does Merrick Garland say publicly about these Alvin Bragg charges? How does that impact January 6th and the classified document investigation on a federal level? I mean, I just think there are so many angles here that become so complicated. But the biggest one is, once you set the precedent that you can arrest for relatively minor charges your chief political rival, that's not ending. We become a banana republic. It's going to become for the rest of our lives, there will be presidential candidates being arrested in this country.
I would just add, and this is one thing I want to come back to later, Clay, laughably minor charges.
Yes.
This is This is like saying somebody was double parked outside a courthouse and it's felony obstruction of justice because the judge couldn't get into the courthouse or something. This is crazy what they're doing.
And at the essence of it, Buck, it's charging somebody with campaign finance violations. Almost all campaign finance violations are designed to keep candidates from taking money for themselves. Here, Trump is giving his money to Stormy Daniels, right? Most campaign finance, I studied it in law school, is about, hey, we don't want this guy to end up super rich because he's stealing money. It's the exact opposite of what Trump did here. I want to tell you, look, if you got low testosterone, you're probably working in the Biden White House, probably voting for Democrats. You know that the most beta males out there overwhelmingly vote for Democrats? You know, overwhelmingly men vote Republican. It's because testosterone tends to be a pretty good thing. But maybe there's a left winger in your life and you think to yourself, you know what? This dude's got no testosterone. That's why he's voting for Democrats. That's why he's walking around in his feminist T-shirt. That's why he goes out on a date. He sits down and says, I'm a huge feminist too. And a lot of you women out there roll your eyes and you're like, you're the last guy I want to be dating. Well, maybe Chalk could help them out. Chalk's a Texas-based company, epitome of the entrepreneurial startup, full of patriots who love this country and the chance to help fellow Americans. They've got great natural supplements that are formulated with ingredients to give your body the fuel it needs without having to reach for another caffeinated beverage. They've also got specifically not only for men, but also for women. Maybe you just have low energy right now. Maybe you don't have the same vitality, vim, vigor that you used to. Maybe you even think to yourself, hey, I feel a little bit like Joe Biden right now. You need to get hooked up with Chalk. CHOQ.com. Check it out right now. Don't be Joe Biden. Don't be low testosterone Democrat. Get 35% off any Chalk subscription for life when you use my name, Clay, in the purchase process. C-L-A-Y. Go. Again, listen carefully. CHOQ.com. Go to that website right now. CHOQ.com. Use Clay as the promo code for 35% off. Feel better. Have more energy with Chalk supplements today.
Learn, laugh, and join us on the weekend on our Sunday Hang with Clay and Buck podcast. Find it on the iHeart app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go like, how do I detach from my, from this idea of what, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Clay and Buck. Just want to let you know, the next hour, we're going to talk banking crisis continuing and the first veto of Joe Biden's administration. We're going to discuss this. The first time Biden has exercised the veto has to do with how your retirement funds are being invested and has to do with the fiduciary responsibilities of the people that are in charge of moving money around to get you to retirement, or just to get you, you know, yield on the earnings that you have. ESG, which we'll be talking about, is still going to be a part of the decision-making process. We'll get there. Basically, woke investing for the meantime, here to stay, thanks to Biden. And at a time when we have a banking crisis, Clay, that is still unfolding, and that could get a lot uglier. Everyone's just thinking, oh, yeah, it's fine. It's going to be fine. Just keep your composure. I don't know if it's going to be fine, but we'll see. Clay and I will dive into the banking crisis coming up here in a couple of minutes. We got a bunch of lines lit. People fired up over the situation. Trump, let's get to it. Jim in Texas has some thoughts about protest Trump and the possible indictment. What's up, Jim? Thanks for listening.
Yeah, guys, I was calling about your comments on that. You said don't protest. You didn't say don't protest. You didn't say protest safely. You said don't protest. You know, we're behind the eight ball. We're late to protest. We really gotta get out there.
I remember when I talked about that whole thing about how I wanted Trump to say peacefully and that exercising your First Amendment rights is fine. Of course, people assembling to protest anywhere is, for any reason, by the way, that they choose, is absolutely, absolutely essential. Clay's exhortation, he did say don't protest. He meant don't protest and riot.
Yes.
So, absolutely. Jim, you're right. But, I mean, if you listen to the context of what we're saying.
Protest. My point is, in general, they are going to try to get you to break the law.
Yes.
Right? So, and I don't believe if 100,000 Trump supporters or 1 million Trump supporters show up in a city that it's going to be possible to have a protest without some of those people breaking the law, right? It's just like you put 1 million people together to do anything, some of them are going to misbehave. Less than during the BLM protest, but they then will turn you into a scapegoat, a sign of Trump having been completely overtaken, the Trump supporters, by anti-Democrat mindset. And they'll put you in prison for years if you step outside the line a little bit.
Let's look at what's going on. I appreciate Jim in Texas calling in, so everyone can be very clear about what we're talking about here. If you want to have a big rally in Texas in support of Donald Trump, God bless. Of course, you know, Clay and I might see you there. But if you're talking about going to New York City to protest outside the court of the NYPD as they have all of these barriers set up and the barricades and this militarized posture, showing up there, first of all, will do
nothing
to change any minds in New York City or the NYPD or the district attorney's office. And it's fine to do, but you're just running the risk of them deciding that, you know, if you do even the slightest thing that is illegal, they'll make a much bigger deal of it. And certainly if you legitimately cross the law, break the law, cross the lines, you could get yourself into a whole lot of trouble.
Not to mention, look, you could be there completely behaving within the law, and there's a bunch of people from Antifa there who suddenly show up and start throwing things at police.
That's exactly right.
And you get swept up and arrested, and you've done nothing wrong, and they throw the book at you.
Yeah,
I want people to understand risk-reward here. Don't put yourself in a losing proposition.
I just want to follow up what Clay said there. Think about it this way. If Trump got arrested next week, you show up to New York, you're a peaceful protester, you're a patriotic American, you just want to show your support against the tyrannical deep state madness of prosecuting Donald Trump, our former president and possible future president, and some Antifa lunatics are there. One of them takes a swing at you, but you take a better swing. You break his jaw. What do you think happens to you? Do you think District Attorney Bragg is going to say, you were defending yourself? No. Clay and I are going to be raising money for you because they're going to try to lock you away for 10 years. That's what we're saying.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how to get comfortable with fear and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern.
People say, what are you afraid of, right? I'm afraid of fear because it's like I want to confront anything in my life that feels challenging on those levels.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.